Some of what you are about to hear might be deemed offensive by some people. If you are insulted by people arguing about the New England Patriots and pretty much anything else, or by subjects like soap with a slot, gutter cleaners, people with big heads, Bilpolian, Egypt, wedge salads, and drilling for oil, you probably shouldn't listen to PFW in Progress. But if you do listen and hear something questionable, please do not be offended. We're just trying to entertain. In other words, some of the content of PFW in Progress may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hiding.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual host. Host
annual.
An annual meeting of
the big one. International Preservation Society tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
Must have been following us for weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my big fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah, we're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah!
PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio or something?
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are going to have a fun time for the next 2 hours talking about the Patriots and the Jets coming up. I'm Fred Kirsch. We might have a couple guys calling in. Eric, Andy, and Paul didn't make it as expected. Why did I expect that? Doc's here, though. He's running the board. And busy day here at Gillette, despite, I would say, you know, a blizzard. You know, most of the time they overhype this stuff, and it really never lives up to it. But this time I think they hit it on the head. In the area that we are in here in Foxborough, Mass., it's approaching 2 feet of snow, and it came down in a hurry. So it was tough sledding getting here. Not too bad once you get out in the road, but getting out of your driveway, visibility was bad. But despite that, all the players are here. I think a lot of them stayed at the hotel close to the stadium just to make sure that they were here. We don't want any Adalys Thomas situations that we had last year. Everybody's here preparing for the Jets. The media's here. It's media day. Lots of activity, lots of press conferences and phone calls, and a notable one, Rex Ryan had one. You might hear a couple questions that I posed if you listen to the Rex Ryan press conference, which is now available on Patriots.com or on your Patriots app. I just checked that, and it is now live. So you might be interested in listening to that. Because of all the talk, and I think it's ratcheted up a little. You know, most of the stuff that Ryan has to say, it's just nonsense. It's fun. You know, you shouldn't take it seriously.
That's being a jackass.
You know, who cares? But I think it's starting to ratchet up a little, particularly where Ryan starts to question Brady's work ethic. You know, even if it's in fun, I mean, I don't know. And then the latest, of course, and I'm going to just say it, Cromartie calling Brady an asshole. I just think that that's over the line. You know, they keep saying that they respect Brady and they respect the Patriots. You don't call somebody you respect that word. I mean, you respect your mother and your father and your, but, you know, do you call them that? I don't know. I just think that was over the line. I think it's a little contradictory. I mean, how much can you respect another player on another team if you're calling him that, and if that's what you really think about him? And then if you really do think that they are that, but you do respect them as a player, you don't say it. And I think that, you know, the players on the Jets are following the lead of the coach. You say anything, you know, whatever's on your mind. Don't hold back. You know, that's fine. If that's the way they want to play it, that's okay. But when they lose, it just makes them that much more, you know, looking like idiots and all talk. And the last thing you want to be as a pro athlete is a guy that's all talk and no action, because talk is cheap. And then you become cheap when you do that type of talking and you don't back it up on the field. You know, look, we talked about it yesterday on this show. Tom Brady is probably one of the biggest trash talkers on the field as any player in the league, much like Larry Bird was when the Celtics. But he backed it up on the field, and he did it on the field. You know, I think there is a difference there. You know, so, yeah, does Brady point to the other bench? I don't know. Maybe he does. I can't say I've specifically seen that. Maybe he does. But that's in the heat of battle, and it's you know, that's when they're playing. You know, and I don't think that shows disrespect either. It's tweaking them, but it's competition. It's being competitive. But calling somebody an a-hole the week before the game, I don't think that's respectful. I don't think it's competitive. I think it's a mentality over there where, you know, when we lose, we can't take it. You know, we can't take losing like men, like, you know, like pro athletes. We can't take losing. It's never our fault. It's always something that somebody else did. You know, we were always the better team. And that, to me, is not part of being competitive. And I think that's what they're displaying over there, and I think they get it from the coach. I think the coach does it in fun for the most part. But the players aren't as sophisticated as the coach. So they go out and they say things like Cromartie does. You know, Cromartie's had, what, 8 kids with 8 different women, and he's calling Brady the a-hole? I mean, really? Is that what we're doing over there? It's really nonsense. And as much as the Patriots are not getting into the war words, I know Brady's seething. I know that it bothers him when his work ethic and his preparation is questioned. And one of the things I worry about Brady is, you know, we've all seen pretty much every pass he's ever thrown as a pro. There have been times when he's gone out in the game and been too amped up, and it's affected his accuracy early in the game. I worry about that because he's going to be amped up. He's holding it in, and he's going to let it out on the field. And so sometimes the adrenaline is so much that it can affect you until it calms down. So I worry about that. I hope there's some way that, you know, he can temper that early in the game so that the Patriots get off on the right foot offensively. It's a different thing on defense. Defense is all about hustle and determination and doing your job and, you know, just going all out. Defense is a lot different than offense. Offense is more choreographed, so adrenaline sometimes on offense can work against you, whereas in defense, most of the time it works to your benefit. So just some opening statements I'll make. Like I said, Doc is here. The guys aren't, but they'll probably be calling in. But we can also take your calls, 508-543-7482 on the Ace Ticket Hotline. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And, you know, we already have a ton of emails that have come in since the last show. People that have listened to yesterday's show want to comment on that. People early this morning rewarding me for coming in, wanted to make sure that, I had some fodder for the show, people emailing before the show. I appreciate that. For example, Tyler from Georgia has already emailed in, and he says, I'm sure you guys have seen this, but just in case, and he's sent the link of Antonio Cromartie's comments. And he says that it's strong words for someone who claims he doesn't give a damn. Well, all these guys give a damn. I mean, there's no doubt about that. They all want to win. One of the things I question is this whole respect thing. You know, if you say you respect somebody. You don't say that type of stuff. Even if you think, and like I said before, you can believe someone is a great athlete, great competitor, you know, and you respect their game and still think they're an a-hole, but you don't say it the week before the game. Say it to their face on the field in the heat of battle, fine. You know, but this is starting to get really a little bit silly. And, you know, it comes from the coach. The players aren't as sophisticated as Rex Ryan. And that's one of the things I think Belichick, to his credit, understands. You know, these guys are going to follow my lead. If I'm out there saying, you know, stupid stuff, my players are going to say it. If I hold my tongue and act respectful toward my opponents, my players will do that as well. And that's the better way to do it, because these guys are young. They're immature. They get emotional. And sometimes when you're emotional, you say things that you shouldn't say. You can't trust 53 guys in your team to always say the right thing. So you come up with a culture that says, look, before the game, we stick to business. We don't talk for anyone else. We don't talk about anyone else. We just talk about ourselves and what we need to do in order to win. And I think that's the right way to do it when you have a locker room full of guys, you know, whose emotions and adrenaline can run high at times. It's just the better, more consistent way to run a team. You know, look, I'm as entertained as anyone by what Ryan does. I think it's great stuff. We read it in the media. But at some point, Woody Johnson, the owner of the Jets, has to say, oh, geez, I don't know, especially if they're not winning. You know, and when I say winning, I mean winning at all. You know, if every year we end up losing in the playoffs to a quote-unquote team that's not better than us, so the Jets say, then maybe we need to change a little bit about, you know, how we're thinking leading into these games. If they win Super Bowls, fine. Do what you want, you know, because that's the ultimate goal. And if you're reaching that goal, then, you know, more power to you. But they haven't yet. And I got a feeling they're not going to this year. a strong feeling that they won't do it this year. And probably not next year, you know. And at some point, this act runs old, you know. This whole act runs old, you know, so we'll leave it at that for now. But I'm sure that your emails will pick up on it at webradio@patriots.com. Let's get to some of those right now. And by the way, again, a lot of stuff going on here. Rex Ryan's phone conference. Bill Belichick is live at the he's actually already, or 12:15, he'll be live.
Live right now.
He's live right now. I know they had Danny Woodhead at the podium and Ben Jarvis Green Ellis at the podium. Tom Brady was at his locker, so we'll have that up on the site as soon as we can. So there's a lot of activity going on here at Gillette Stadium, despite what is truly a blizzard, especially in this area. It seems like Foxborough was the epicenter of it all, and it all dumped down here. And it's a great day leading up to the playoff game. Yes, Doc?
They are making some progress clearing the snow off of the field, though.
The bowl?
Yep.
Well, that's good. They better. You know, they have a game to play there on Sunday.
I haven't heard that.
Really? Yeah. So, you know if they covered it up with the tarp last night? I would imagine they did,
It did
right?
not look like the field was tarped.
Really?
From the little bit that they had cleared off, you could see the logos and the numbers coming through beneath a layer of what looked like ice.
So they're just going to plow right over that. And yep. I guess it's the turf, so you don't have to worry about digging it up like you would grass. So, you know, they'll be fine. The game will go on Sunday. This storm is a one-day thing, so tomorrow the sun's going to come out. Parking lots will be plowed. So by Sunday, if you're coming to the game, don't worry. Your seat will be cleared off. And it's not going to be actually that cold. It's going to be, I think, in the lower 30s, so which is balmy this time of year for Foxborough in the playoff game here at Gillette. So we'll see. You know, one of the things, it just occurs to me that, you know, Ryan's all worried about Brady's, you know, habits for preparing for the game. He should be worried about his quarterback has had one touchdown and seven interceptions at Gillette Stadium. That's what he should be worried about, you know. And a lot of people say that's what he is worried about. That's why he's deflecting all this stuff and putting all the attention on him. Fine. But I hope he's worried about. Well, actually, you know what? I hope he's not worried about it. I hope he doesn't care about it because it's going to continue. I think all the Jets are doing is just unleashing the fury of the New England Patriots, and I pity their souls because they are going to get pummeled. Doc nods. 508.
You're going to rape and pillage, huh?
Oh my God, they are going to go home walking like they have poles up there. You know what? Because that's how they're going to feel, that they just got reamed. Their manhood is going to be taken. You know what? After, you know what we should do? We should do a promotion with Victoria's Secret. And after the game, Victoria's Secret should issue all the Jets panties, because that's what they should be wearing after that game. They're not men.
Well, most men like to do a lot of things with those people.
Pretty pink panties is what they should all be wearing.
With a Jets logo on it, right?
With a Jets logo. Big Jets logo on it. You got it. Let's see, 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Larry is from Miami, and he's on the phone. Hey, Larry.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Well, it's just me and Doc. How you doing?
Oh, just you. Okay. How y'all doing today?
Well, we're probably not as good as you because we've got about 2 feet of snow on the ground. What's happening in Miami?
I had to shovel some snow off my driveway today, too.
You did not, so. You liar.
Well, hey, guys, I just wanted to call in. Yesterday was an awesome show. Had me laughing throughout. It was an awesome show.
That's we just aim to please. That's all.
And a little things I wanted to point out. For the Jets game that's coming up, I just believe that, you know, Belichick just load up the box and just play some cover two, man, and make Sanchez have to throw accurate passes. And we should be able to win the game by a lot. So I'm already predicting it's probably going to be 27-10, maybe 30-10. But I don't see them scoring a lot of points in this game.
The Jets, yeah. No, if the Jets can only score 10 points, lights out. It's a runaway. It's going to be a slaughter. You know, the Jets.
I don't think it's going to be as a blowout again because I want to be emotionally prepared for a blowout, but I don't think so.
But 30-10 to me is a blowout. So if it's 30-10, the Patriots win by 20 points. To me, that's a game that probably was never in doubt. And, you know, because of the Patriots' defense holding them to 10 points, you know, as a fan, you're never worried.
Yeah, I know.
You know, so I hope you're right, Larry. I think you are. I just don't see all of a sudden Sanchez, you know, becoming a Pro Bowl quarterback. I know the Patriots have made, you know, guys like Matt Flynn look good here, you know, from the Green Bay Packers. I just don't see Sanchez doing it, and I don't see that the Jets' running game being able to carry them. Look, the Jets have a good defense. I'll give them all the credit in the world for that.
But that's what they got.
But the Patriots have Tom Brady, and he knows what to do with a good defense. And with the, you know, with the weapons he has now, I'm feeling good about this game. I got to admit, Larry, I'm feeling good.
I'm feeling good, too. But, like, I was watching the Indy game. Pretty much, we want Camardi off our backs. We just have, you know, different formations that have them off, even Revis.
Yeah.
We could actually put Revis in the slot. He's good corner, but in the slot, he's pretty normal.
Right. No, it's very hard to cover a good slot receiver. It's just, you know, we see those drills in camp all the time where it's one-on-one and, you know, the quarterback gets rid of the ball quick. It's almost impossible for, a cornerback to not, you know, to knock down that pass. Now, you can limit the yards after catch, but to break up the pass, it's almost impossible, especially when you got a guy like Wes Welker. I'm with you. If they want to line up Revis and match him up with Welker, you know, I'll take that all day long, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
And one more thing I want to say, we should start talking about, I believe we are number 18 in the draft, and in the 32nd pick.
The 32nd pick, it depends on where they end up, but 18 and anywhere from right now 24 to 32.
Okay, I just wanted to know that we need it on, because they had projected us. One of the mock drafts that's predicting us taking Julio Jones from from Alabama.
Okay.
Wide receiver, taking that at 18 because A.J. Green going to be off the board.
Yeah. You know, the other thing, don't forget, Larry, is the Patriots also have the 33rd pick. They have the top pick in the second round, which a lot of people say is sort of like a first rounder. So, you know, within the first 33 picks, they have three picks. So if one of those were a wide receiver, I would not be surprised.
That's all I'm hoping for, buddy.
Okay, Larry.
Guys.
All right. That's Larry from Miami, who is a little bit better off than we are today, I would assume. You know, I think I'm an adult. I can live anywhere I want in the world. Why the hell am I living, you know, where it snows? I don't know. No, New England's a great place. I wouldn't trade it.
Idiot.
Right. Let's see. Who's up here? Craig from Philly. We finally heard from Craig yesterday. Craig is a longtime listener, emailer, actually has visited the show, started in South Carolina, went to North Carolina, and now he's in Philly. And he says, hey, guys, these teams know each other very well. That's Craig. I think Belichick will pull a trick or two out of his bag of magic tricks for this one. Let's see. Offensive coordinator, great job play calling and mixing up formations. I can't wait to see how they will vary plays from recognized formations to trick up the Jets' D. I don't think the offensive coordinator has gotten the credit he deserves. You know, you're right. And although he doesn't have the title, that's Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's the one, you know, dishing it up on game day. And, you know, I think he got too much blame last year. You know, he's calling the same plays this year as last year. It's just the guys weren't executing because he didn't have the tools. Now he's got the tools, and his play calling is as good as it was last year, but now he's getting the results. Bill O'Brien's doing a great job, did a great job last year. It's just now, like I said, Brady's got the tools to work with, and now we're seeing the results. So, yeah, Bill O'Brien deserves a ton of credit. So questions from Craig. Do you guys think he's done a better job than Josh McDaniels did? I think they've done comparable jobs. You know? So I know that Brady, it's been reported that Brady had a really good working relationship with McDaniels. I assume he's got the same with Bill O'Brien. I don't know. But to me, it's comparable. Two, Belichick knows that the Jets, and I let me stop that. I'll also say it might even be better because of the change that they had to do midseason when they got rid of Moss. I mean, that was a change to the offense. When Randy Moss isn't on the field anymore, it changes how you look at your offense. And that was a midstream change. And I think Bill O'Brien and the offense and Tom Brady have adapted beautifully to that. Two, Belichick knows that the Jets are going to try to chew up the clock with the running game as it takes some pressure off Sanchez and keeps the ball away from Brady. Belichick has been consistently deferring when we have won the coin toss. Do you think he'll accept in hopes to gain an early lead this time, or do you think he will defer to show confidence in our D and put the ball in Brady's hands to start the second half? No, I think he defers. I think he puts the ball in Sanchez's hands right away, try to get him going, because, you know, I think the defense is a different defense than it was first half of the season. It's a hell of a lot better. I think you do have confidence in him rattling. Look, if you rattle Sanchez early, that sets the tone for the game. You know, if he has success early, okay. You know, you adapt and you try to adjust to what he did. But I like having the ball to begin the second half, and that's the other benefit of deferring. And I think that's even more important than having it to begin the game, is, you know, coming out of that locker room and getting the ball right back. Which of our tight ends have the biggest game, yards versus TDs? Crumpler's done an awesome job blocking. Brady's been going to him in the red zone the last few games. I love the plays they run from the three tight end formation with Welker and Woodhead in there. Yeah, I don't know who's going to have the biggest game. Gronkowski is the probably safe pick. We don't know Aaron Hernandez's status yet. I did see him in the locker room about 45 minutes ago. Looked fine. But then again, that's really no indication of what he's going to be out in the field. You know, Hernandez has been more the guy this year that's got that one or two plays, but they've been for a lot of yards. I'll take that. That's just as big as, you know, Gronk's, you know, five or six catches. And, you know, like Craig has said, Crumpler has been gone to in the red zone last couple games with two touchdowns. I just love the whole idea of having these productive tight ends. This is the thing that they were lacking last year. This is what held Bill O'Brien as an offensive coordinator back and Tom Brady in the offensive back, is not having those options, especially in the red zone. We've seen it. We've seen the benefits of having guys who can catch the ball in the red zone. It just makes it so much tougher for the defense. Who's better, Edelman or Woodhead? I think Woodhead has better hands. They're just so different. You know, they're just so different. Different body makes, different skill sets. I don't think Woodhead could return punts. I don't think Edelman could run between the tackles like Woodhead does. I think they're just different. I think as a receiver, though, I think you got to give the nod to, believe it or not, Edelman. You know, the catches that Woodhead are catching are, you know, mostly, you know, checkoffs and sprint outs and things like that. Edelman, I think, despite the drops he's had, I think as a receiver, he's better. Keller or Sanchez, security blanket, who will we cover? Who will cover him? Spikes is quick, but does he have the cover skills? No, Spikes, you don't want him on Keller. Keller will eat him alive. I even think he might have an advantage over Guyton, who would be the other guy. You probably have to drop a safety down on Keller at times. You know, I know Chung has had his problems in coverage as well, but he might have enough to cut to, you know, keep up with Keller. And finally, Craig says, do you guys think that Belichick will try to ram the ball down the throats of the physical Jets in the second half? Our offensive line has been playing extremely well since Mankin's return. I think with three tight ends in there blocking and the law firm running the ball, the Jets won't stop us, especially since the Jets know that Brady could use play action at any time. The Jets' biggest weakness on D are their safeties. It would be very rewarding to Bill to outsmart Rex through most of the game to gain a substantial lead, then play smash mouth to show Rex that he couldn't beat us at that either. That is where the Bills get those wry smile. That is where Bill gets those wry smiles from. Yeah, I think the Patriots will try to ram the ball down, but I don't think they'll wait till the second half. I think that they will. They'll try to be balanced throughout. Now, they'll probably come out throwing like they usually do. That's who they are. They'll use the pass, the high percentage pass, sort of as, you know, an option to the running game to just get the chains moving. But they will run the ball. Right now, they've got three really good running backs. They've got Woodhead, they've got Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis, Sammy Morris, and they've got Fred Taylor healthy now. And I know that we talked about this yesterday. These guys don't think that Taylor will or should take carries away from Ben-Jarvis Green-Ellis. I agree with that, but I think he's a weapon. I don't think we've heard the last of Fred Taylor. He's a guy that can do something that I think Ben-Jarvis really, you know, isn't really in his makeup, and that's break it for the long one. And, you know, I think Taylor, if he's on the field, can do that at any time. So I think we're going to see some Fred Taylor in this game. I wouldn't doubt. Remember in the last game against the first game against the Jets in Meadowlands, you know, Fred Taylor cracked open, I think it was like a 30-yard run right in the beginning of the game. It got called back, but, you know, he could do something this game. I would not be surprised at all to see him get 7-8 carries and have at least one of them go for significant yardage. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. George from Orlando is calling on the Ace Ticket Hotline. I think all these people from Florida calling in to rub it in. Is that what's going on, George? You're just rubbing it in?
Well, actually, Fred, one of my buddies that lives up there in Lowell just sent me a picture of the snow on his roof. How'd you make it in there? What do you got, a four-wheel drive?
No, I tell you, once the plow crews have been doing a good job on the roads, the visibility was terrible. But if you just take it slow, you can get in. I only live around 10 miles from the stadium, so it wasn't too bad.
I like the snow when it's coming down, but I hate it afterwards. That's why I moved down here to Florida 12 years ago.
So. I hear you.
Listen, I don't know. I listen to you guys on pod, and then when I can live, of course, I'm home today early, so I'm listening to you guys. And yesterday I did, and I don't know. And then the show after the playbook, he got me kind of geared up, him and Pete Shepard. But I'm nervous about this. I don't know. All this talk, and I don't know. Do you think that the bye week was a good thing for him or not?
I do. I think at this time of year, any extra rest, these guys, because they're all hurting. No one's 100%. I think it is good. And I think, and I know, you know, as you, if you listen to the show last week, these, they practice in pads all week. So it's
yeah,
not
I
like,
did hear that.
Yeah, it's not like they had an easy week in, of walkthroughs. They practice in pads knowing that they weren't going to have a game and, you know, they keep, you know, keep the energy up, keep the hitting up. So I think they're as ready as they'll ever be. And I understand though, being nervous. I'm always nervous no matter who I'm playing, you know, and. The Jets are going to come out like fire breathers. They're, you know, they want this game every bit as much as the Patriots. But I really just think we're the better team.
And see, that's what Pete said, and I believe it too. I mean, like they say, on paper, it looks like the Jets are way better. But I believe, you know, Belichick is definitely going to scheme it up different than the last game. Of course, I don't know how we can get any better than what we did last time. But that them coming out breathing fire, and then what you just mentioned about Brady maybe being so angry at what's being said, and he can't say anything back. Well, you know, he's not. They're not gonna.
He's
say
choosing
anything
not
back.
To, right? Right.
Yes. I don't know. You know, the first quarter is just going to be so amazing, and but I believe the weapons in the end, like you, hopefully Hernandez is back and Woodhead out of the backfield. I think those are the two keys, and then of course you mentioned Fred Taylor, and he's been playing sparingly. What the plus. Past 4 weeks, so I think, like you said, he's got his legs under him. I think they've been keeping him in the corral, and I believe they're going to unleash him here.
Yeah,
this game.
I don't think that he should take. You know, like I think Ben Jarvis Green Ellis is our number one back, and yeah. I don't think we should all of a sudden change that. But I think, you know, in spots, you know, you bring him in, and maybe you have two backs in the, you know, backfield. We saw that in training camp where they had two running backs side by side in the backfield. Maybe you bring that out of the playbook and you show that look. We haven't really seen that all, you know, all year except in, you know, passing when they're at max protect. But on first down, what about a two-back set? I wouldn't rule it out.
No, exactly, Fred. Well, thank you. And like I said, I can't wait for Sunday. Keep up the good work. And I feel I like the two-point the double-digit deficit, probably like everyone's saying, 30 to like 17 or something like that.
Oh, we'll all celebrate together. All right, George in Orlando. All right, on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's take a quick break. We got a lot of emails coming in. I'm sure more of your calls. And pizza's here, so I have to eat.
You never know what will happen when Fred Kirsch hosts PFW in Progress.
Anything's possible with Commander Cuckoo Bananas in charge.
Patriots.com Radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's gotta be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks. Really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking like newspapers, you know, when you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057, and you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriots, PFW in progress.
All right. Oh, excuse me. Wow. Wolfing down a couple slices of Papagino's pizza here with pepperoni. And it's nice because I don't have to share it with Big Head and Paul. So I actually get more than a couple slices because usually Paul takes a pie for himself. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket hotline. And on it right now is Anthony from Naples. What is with all these people from Florida?
What's going on, Fred? I just heard you're the single man there.
You guys are killing me. Every call we've had is from Florida. You're rubbing it in.
To be honest with you, until Doc answered the phone, I'm like, that's weird. Why did Doc answer? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, they have a snowstorm up there. And then I didn't even think you guys were going to have a show, but apparently you came through today.
The show must go on, Anthony. The show must go on.
Everybody forgets me. I did produce the show for a year. I've been around for 6.5.
Oh, my God.
Hey, can I tell you, Doc, those were the best because this guy, Kevin, talks too much about a meaningless prediction.
Uh-oh.
Just going against the grain. Ooh, I'm going to pick Seattle. Why? No, it's just a feeling. Anybody can do that. Because if you're wrong, they weren't supposed to win anyway.
Right.
Give me a reason.
Okay. That, you know, I hear that. All right. What do you got, Anthony?
Nothing much, really. Just wanted to call. And obviously, this week is the week. I'm sorry. I don't see them losing.
Yeah.
I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't want to be too confident in it. But as long as, there's no huge turnovers or anything, I think this is going to be a pretty solid win.
Yep. And I think that a lot of people are afraid to say what you're saying because then what if? You know, now I built myself up to thinking there's no way and then there was a way. And yeah. So what? You know, who cares?
Yeah.
Say it. If you feel it, say it.
Yeah, I think anybody who didn't watch that Colts game, you know, probably feels like that. But if you watch that Colts game and see how bad or how poorly he was playing as in franchise
right.
in the first quarter, I was going to my girlfriend. I'm like, what the hell is going on? I'm like, he's sailing it 2 feet over everybody's head.
Yep.
You know, he's either throwing it behind them so they couldn't catch it in stride because there was a couple of possessions there where, you know, guys could have made first downs if he hit them in stride and where it was supposed to be. And after that point, I was like, he must be hurt. Something's off there.
Well,
for him to be that. What's that?
He does have a shoulder that might require surgery in the off season. So
If they're leaking that out, might require surgery.
Yeah.
It's gonna require surgery.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's something up there. You could just see it in his face where there was just no confidence there in the game. And they pulled it out. In the second half, they luckily took it away from his hands and put it on the ground, and he was able to make some key throws. You still have to give him some credit, you know, in that second half, he made the throws that counted.
Right, and, you know, the problem with a lot of these games that the Jets have ended up winning, Sanchez has made some throws, like you said, that directly, you know, help them win. But the problem is, throughout the game, you know, he's inaccurate, and it just so happened that teams like the Lions couldn't take advantage of it and put the Jets away like the Patriots did in the 45. They put them away. And that's the thing is over the course of the game, Sanchez will be more inaccurate than accurate. You have to put him away. You can't let him hang around.
Yeah.
And, they have shown that they can come back and, come up with a dramatic win at the end. You just got to put him away. And I think the Patriots will do that.
Now, let me ask you this, Fred. Do you obviously everybody's saying, you know, this is nothing new, but Schottenheimer, you know, he's got a lot to do with it, as in his lack of success and sometimes his success. Now, do you feel like because all of a sudden they throw that Wildcat in there, they throw Smith in there, I feel like that hurts him a lot, as in Sanchez, you know, to give him that rhythm and that confidence that he needs. Because I feel like, am I mistaken? But they pretty much didn't throw that Wildcat ripple in there in the last quarter. Am I wrong in saying that?
When they played the Patriots or
no,
against
when they
the Colts? Yeah, they did. I don't remember seeing it early in the game. You're right. I don't know. I you could be right about disrupting his rhythm. Although I don't know what kind of rhythm he had anyway. Maybe that was part of the reason is that, you know, we just got to keep moving the ball and take the pressure off him and let's just kind of, you know, change things up. But you might be right. I they must have a reason why they think it was a good idea to put it in when they did. So
yeah, I almost equate it to, you know, when Bill O'Brien, you know, the run game isn't working, all of a sudden he panics. He's just like, all right, we're going to spread it out. That's it. We're going to abandon the run.
Yeah.
You know, and I feel like that's what happens with Sanchez a little bit. Hey, we'll take that. Hopefully they don't smarten up. But, you know, probably they will. Who knows?
Well, look
at one last thing, Fred.
Yeah.
I'll let you go after this. All year I've been killing Bill O'Brien. I want to give him his credit. I want to give him his props. Okay? He's been doing a fantastic job. And, you know, I'm eating a little crow right now because, I think since last year, actually, I've been a little hard on him. And I'm sure he's happy to hear that from me because I'm sure he was
excited. Yeah.
But, I just want to say, you know, I'm liking it. Maybe he'll get the coordinator position and title next year. And if he doesn't, I don't care.
Yep, he has been. All right.
All right, take it easy, Fred.
Anthony from warm Naples, Florida. Hate you. Calling in. Let's see. We got a poem here that Connor has written in. And he says, we hate footballers or managers over this side of the Atlantic. Connor's over from Ireland. We sing chants about them. We need one about fat bastard Ryan and Antonio No Condoms Cromartie. I've made one using the Winter Wonderland Christmas song. It's written to be heard in the Winter Wonderland melody. Please screen if you decide to read on air. Also, I have written two punchlines in the final verse, one politically correct version and the other not so politically correct. I don't mind. I just want Andy, Paul, Fred to see it. Let's see. I can't. Let's see. I'll get to the part where I can't read it. He says, you know what? I can't say that first word either, Connor. I'm sorry. But blank sing, can you hear them? On Revis Island, you can't see them. They think they're all that. They really are crap, walking in a Jets wonderland. Gone away is Mangini. Here to stay is Fat Bastard. Walking along on a... Oh, see, now I can't read that either, Connor. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we'll move on. Sorry about that, listeners. I shouldn't have even started that.
Pretty. That's good censoring on your part, friend.
Well, you know, I don't have my normal screener here. Who's my screener? I don't have one. Let's see. Luca writes in, hey, guys, Eric and Fred. He says I'm in his doghouse. Anyway, the kind of scenario for us, I guess, now I just don't want to lose to the freaking Jets. It would be unbearable. But besides being a little bit worried about our run defense, I don't think we can lose. Which gets me to my point that I sent previously but didn't get read because Fred doesn't read emails which are sent before the show. Shame on you, Fred. Anyway, I said that the only team that I seriously think can beat us are the Green Bay Packers. They match well against us. How about them Seahawks? Go Pats. And Fred, we're good now. Oh, good. I always thought we were. But, you know, good for the Seahawks, though. I think it would be awesome if they beat the Bears. That would be just, you know. And Bears can be beat. There's no doubt. Craig from Ottawa. It's nice not hearing the negativity from Andy and Paul. Is there going to be an AD incident with PFW because they didn't show up? I don't know. What do you think
and
I should do,
negativity that's
listeners?
In this town
sucks. What do you think I should do to Andy and Paul and Eric for just not even giving it an effort? The whole reason that we got a first-round bye was taking care of the Jets at home. I think this playoff scenario couldn't have worked out better for us. We get the Jets again at home, which even though it's a tough game, it's not a team we fear. We have some really good matchups with their safeties, and for anyone to compare the 2010 Colts to the 2010 Patriots is smoking crack. They simply can't match up with Gronkowski or Hernandez. Baltimore has to play Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh has beat them a lot. It would be a war, and hopefully we get them a little beaten up. If we do win the Super Bowl, even the haters will have to give us props because we played almost every playoff team, and in some cases, two or three times. No doubt, Craig. This isn't last year where we were losing to teams with winning records. The Patriots have taken on all comers. And again, with a transition in the middle of the field And that's exactly what it is when you get a guy, when you get rid of a guy like Randy Moss of his caliber. That's a transition. And they just got better. So with all the young guys and the defense, we knew the defense would be a thing that would be a week-to-week improvement, you know, that you would be looking for. It's happened. You know, all the what-ifs, you know, of guys that had to play to a certain level has happened in order for the Patriots to do well this season. You know, it's a great story, and I hope it continues. Sean from Atlanta, I was wondering if there was a way that Kevin could get the crowd to chant, smell my feet, during the game against the Jets. Also, what are your thoughts on Brandon Spikes? Do you think he will have an impact against the run on Sunday after a bad week of practice last week? Now, let's get to the first thing. I think we should do the chant, smell my feet. I think we should also do F-E-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet. I think we should do that chant. And I think after every touchdown that the Patriots will score, and I said the word will score, I think everybody in the stadium should point at the Jets bench because, you know, according to them, that's such a terrible thing to do, and it really bothers them so much. Everybody in the stadium point at the Jets bench after every Patriots touchdown. On the other thing, on Brandon Spikes, you know, Belichick was asked about how Spikes looked in practice last week, and Belichick said he looked like a guy who has been off for 4 weeks, and, you know, hopefully he's getting better. Don't read too much into that in that he had a bad week of practice. I think Belichick is going to be very, very slow to compliment Brandon Spikes on anything that he's done. Even if it, you know, if he comes out and has 3 sacks and 10 tackles, I don't think he'll be the first guy that Belichick compliments after the game. Because, you know, what Spikes did, he let down his team. He let down his teammates. And, you know, you're in the doghouse for a while. But don't read so much into that he had a bad week of practice in terms of his performance. Maybe he did, but I don't necessarily think that's what Belichick meant. And I do think he'll have an impact. I think he's coming back at the right time. If he's smart, he's been working out like a madman over the last 4 weeks, and he comes back with a chip on his shoulder and, you know, thinking that he needs to make this up to his teammates by playing well. So I think he's going to come out. He's going to be coming out with like a mad dog, and I think he will have an impact on the run game, and I think he'll be out there. He may not be out there for the first snap. It might be, you know, one of those things where, you know, you're just not going to get the in the record book for having started the game. But he'll be in there, and he'll be in there for a majority of the snaps. Trust me. Let's see. Pete in the UK says, following your orders to tune in, Air Capitan. I tweeted out earlier that everybody better listen, so I didn't drive in here for nothing. Rex Ryan / Cromartie's rants are just a cover to take attention off Sanchez so Mark doesn't freak out before the game. And yes, Footsie's trying to trick Brady into overthrowing. Jets stand for just end toe season. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that earlier if you're just tuning in or didn't hear my opening rant. One of the things I do worry about is Brady getting too amped up for this game. We've seen every throw that he's made as a pro, and there are games where early he's been a little inaccurate. You know, when Brady's inaccurate, it's not the same as Mark Sanchez being inaccurate, but a little high with his throws sometimes, just the adrenaline. And you know that he's seething about the Jets. He genuinely doesn't like them. He's not going to disrespect them in the media like the Jets have done to him, but he's seething. He wants to beat this team just as much as the Jets want to beat him. And so he's going to come out as fired up as Brandon Spikes will come out fired up. And I do worry a little bit about it affecting his accuracy early on in the game until he settles in. But he's a big boy. I'm sure that he understands what he needs to do. Kamani writes in, Fred, you should be thrilled that Cromartie made that statement. The Pats have bitch-slapped the Jets so many times that it has become boring. Now they have something to be pissed about. Okay, and look, I agree that I think this is just more bulletin board. I think the Patriots are mad anyway, and I think they'll be motivated anyway. I just think that, you know, there's nobody really is what should I say, holding the Jets accountable for all this stuff. I just think it's going over the line when players are now calling each other a-holes. I don't think the league wants that. You know, as much as, you know, I don't want to, you know, play the whole PC, all kids are listening and all that stuff, but I just don't think that's good for the league. I think good, honest competition is what the league is looking for. And I don't think, you know, when a scumbag like Cromartie, who has eight kids with eight women, is calling Tom Brady, not that Tom Brady is perfect, but calling him an a-hole, I don't think there's any room for that. What, because he points at your bench? Really? Come on. You know, really, come on. Let's see. Oh, Doc tells me got another caller. Eric is on the – oh, R. Eric? Eric with a K? Hey, Eric, what's going on?
What's up, Freddie? How are you?
Good. What are you doing?
I just finished some blogging, so I figured I'd check in with you, see how you're doing. You all alone over there?
Oh, like Doc's with me.
Well, so you're all alone then, right?
Oh, wow.
Oh,
wow.
Oh.
There's a shot. What are you blogging about?
I was listening in on all the conference calls this morning. I wrote about Rex and Cromartie's comments and Brady and Woodhead and Green Ellis. And, boy, I don't know. You were on the conference call, obviously, with Rex Ryan because you were sticking it to him a few times.
Right,
I heard,
right.
Which was great. I loved it.
Well, I just think that no one is – everyone's afraid to ask him those questions.
Yeah. And you know what? No, go ahead.
I think someone needs to ask – there's a couple questions that I didn't ask that – I felt like asking, but, you know, I held back on those. But
like what?
Well, for
anything
example.
You can stay in the air?
Yeah, sure. You know, here's a guy. The Patriots have a guy in Brandon Spikes who early in the season, beginning of the season, put out a very questionable and ill-advised video. And he came out afterwards and apologized to his teammates, through the media, to the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Rex Ryan has never apologized for the nonsense he put up on the internet. All he did was say it's personal.
Mm-hmm.
But he put his players in a tough position because they have to answer to this, and he put his team in a bad light, and he's never apologized for that.
No, and he didn't.
Why is no one in the media willing to say, are you willing to apologize or have you apologized? No one is willing to ask that question.
Yeah, and that's a good question. I think you sort of tried to get in that direction when you asked him if he felt like his players were following his lead. And his answer was pretty sarcastic when he said, yeah, of course. And I think he almost took a little bit of offense by that, but I think you were right.
Well,
because
yeah.
The players are following his lead. And he wasn't even apologetic when he was told about Cromartie's comments. He
right.
said, you know, am I gonna punish him for that? No. You know, I mean, it's like he said, well, you know, he was stumbling for words in the beginning.
Yeah,
and then he said, obviously, you know, we respect Tom Brady. There's no question about it. Hey, there's dislike between us and him and the Jets. But I'm not going to punish Cromartie.
Right.
I mean, so, yeah, obviously the players are following his lead. And I thought it was also a jab at Belichick when he said, you know, we're a transparent organization. We let our guys speak, and we don't tell them what to say and what not to say.
Well, if they're so transparent, then tell us what you said to your team after all this foot stuff. Did you apologize?
Yeah.
You know, where's the transparency there?
Yeah, great point.
He's full of baloney is what he is. Now, I think he's entertaining as hell. Most of the stuff I could care less. I think, you know, he's very funny. But, you know, I think people...
This crossed the line.
Yeah.
This definitely crossed the line.
Absolutely. And, you know, the whole thing about questioning Brady's work ethic. Now, I know he's probably just teasing and he probably thinks Brady, you know, probably does prepare, but you know, the whole thing about, you know, I know Brady thinks he does, and he was at a Broadway play, should have been watching film. Hey, buddy, Brady earned a bye week, okay? You know, if he wants to take a night off, he earned it because his team has a bye. Your team didn't earn a bye, you know?
Right.
I just think media needs to, like, he's throwing this stuff out there. I don't think why it's not okay for the media to throw it back.
No, absolutely, I think you were leading the charge there today. There weren't that many tough questions, other than, you know, the fact that they brought out, you know, they started off the conference call
right,
with that.
Right.
But you know, it was mostly, you know, what's your reaction?
You know, in hindsight, I think we should have extended the conference a little bit and started turning the questioning about Sanchez, because as we all think, he's trying to deflect and trying to, you know, avoid questions about Sanchez. But I think
right.
we should have – I think there was one question on Sanchez, but I think we should have started asking, you know, are you concerned that your quarterback has thrown one touchdown and seven interceptions to Gillette? And,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is it about Gillette that you think as, you know – and what he should say, if he's honest, well, it's the Patriots defense that has done that, you know, but he probably won't. But I think it should have been turned towards Sanchez because that's the key to the game. You know, we all agree the Jets go where the Jets go. It's where Sanchez is going to take him. And, you know, if he turns the ball over, it's lights out. The game's over. So what are you doing? What are you, how are you working with Sanchez? You know, do you worry about, you know, asking him to do too much? And, you know, he's not going to tell us his game plan, but, you know, I think the questioning should have, you know, focused a little bit more on Sanchez too.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, the story of the day is Cromartie, and that's taking more. I wouldn't be surprised if, I mean, he sounded very, I believe that he didn't hear the comments and that he was first told of them during the conference call. But it wouldn't surprise me if somebody else in the organization maybe encouraged him, encouraged Cromartie to do something provocative, not necessarily to come out and cuss Brady out in print, but to do something to deflect attention. You know, and you know, it just seems like it's a little too contrived to
me. What Rex should do is, you know, when they, you know, informed him of the comments, he should have said, well, look, I didn't hear him. You know, that's something I really can't comment on. I don't know what the context was, but instead he comes out and goes, oh, you know, I'm not going to polish him. Guys say stuff. It's okay.
Yeah.
You know,
that's being a
jackass. I just don't think that's what the league is looking for.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You know, when they lose, it's just going to make them seem that much more idiotic.
And, well, you know, I think, have you gone to the link for the story on the Daily News?
No.
Because there's a poll question in the story that says, who is more deserving of the label that Cromartie gave to Brady? And they have four choices. They have Cromartie, Brady, Ryan, and Belichick. And so I voted in the poll instantly, and not surprisingly, 67% voted for Cromartie.
Right.
17% went for Ryan, 10 for Brady, 6 for Belichick. So this is in the New York Daily News. So most of the readers are, you know, New York metropolitan area readers.
Right.
Look, and they're most likely Jets fans.
Cromartie's had eight kids.
They're voting for Cromartie.
Right. Cromartie's had eight kids with eight women. Who's the asshole?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I'm sorry about my language, but I can't help it. You know, it is what it is.
Well, yeah, but you're right.
See what you did, Eric?
Right.
You got them all riled up.
I don't think you needed my help to do that.
All right. Well, thanks for calling in, Eric. We got a lot of emails, and I'm sure other people want to call. So.
All right, yeah, I got to get back to
keep
doing
blogging.
Some more writing.
Keep blogging.
All right.
All right.
See ya.
All right, that's Eric Scalavino. Calling in from the hills of North Providence.
Vlogging. Come on. We all know he's sitting on his patio doing snowscapes.
Well, he might be painting. I don't know.
It's black and white. It's right up his alley.
Let's see. Tracy writes in. She's from Las Vegas. All these people in warm weather areas. Kudos for making it in. A good snow day separates the men from the boys. You got that right. I'm starting to worry about Sunday. We have a great team and one of the best coach quarterback tandems in NFL history. But how can we compete with a team that has a clairvoyant for a coach? Not only does Rex know what Brady and Manning do to prepare every minute of the day, but he also knows how they would prepare in alternate realities. So, good point by Tracy. She goes on, and I'm curious about what is going through LaDainian Tomlinson's mind. We know how he feels about the Pats, but how does he feel about his own team? Didn't he accuse the Pats of having no class and that the players got that from their coach? How do his new team and coach compare? Another good point by Tracy. And lastly, Cromartie says that Brady is an a-hole because he's pointed to the crowds to celebrate. So, doesn't LT do this little flip of the ball at the crowds just about every time he touches the ball? I can't wait for this game. I don't hate anyone, but I do wish physical pain and embarrassment on the Jets, the team, the coaches, and their fans. Thank you, Tracy from Vegas. Hear, hear. So, yeah, I mean, really, he's an a-hole because he points at your bench? Oh, for crying out loud. If that's all that gets you crying, you are in for a world of hurt on Sunday, Mr. Dad. That's his new name, Mr. Dad. He doesn't know where his kids are or what their names are, but he's Mr. Dad. You know? You want to get personal? We can get personal. Let's see. What else we got here? We got a ton of emails. Jonathan writes in. Where are you from? Let's see. From Vermont. I don't know if you guys are getting as much snow as we have. I looked at the radar. It doesn't look like it's centered as much there as it is here for sure. But anyway, he says, this message is for Doc and Kevin. There's been a lot of talk about the ways to get Foxborough crowd more involved. Love the introduction of the foghorn this season, by the way. Boston area fans love to sing at Red Sox games, with Sweet Caroline being the signature Sox song during the seventh inning stretch. So why not introduce a Patriots song during games? There would be nothing better than having 68,000 New Englanders singing along to a New England-themed song, and it would raise the energy and collective noise of the crowd. For years, I've thought Jonathan Richman's I Love New England song would be perfect. It's short, 2 minutes, funny. The lyrics are simple and easy to follow. Okay. You know, I get it, John. And I think having a chant is not a bad idea when you hear 68,000 people all doing the same thing. But this isn't baseball. Sweet Caroline is okay for the seventh inning stretch. But this, you know, football to me, that's not what you want to be doing. You don't want to be singing extended songs during breaks. You're looking for chants. Like, as much as I hate it, I have to admit, J-E-T-S is pretty effing good, what they do over there. The way, you know, that idiot with the fire hat who's on disability gets them all doing that at the same time.
He doesn't look disabled to me.
Oh, he's on disability. Trust me. He hasn't worked since 06. But, you know, and I think it's great what they do. It's really cool. But you can't make it. You can't force it. You know, you can't force it. And singing a song in a football game, I don't know. I know the Miami Dolphins do Miami Dolphins, which I think, by the way, they stole from the Saints. But
Oilers.
The Oilers. I'm sorry. The Houston Oilers when the Oilers were out in Houston. But, you know, you'll want something that gets people revved up, not feeling happy. You know, and I think Sweet Caroline is like happy. It's like, yeah, you know, you want something that really gets people fired up, because, you know, a 12th man in football is different from guys, you know, people watching baseball. It's just a different mindset. And I don't think Sweet Caroline does it for me.
What do you think of the cheer song?
No, not even close. Not even close. You know?
I agree.
What you want is Braveheart. And, you know, what's the other one?
Predator.
Predator and that type of stuff.
But there's a reason that we don't use Braveheart.
What?
Mel Gibson's position on Jewish people.
Okay, good reason. Good reason. But that's the ilk that I'm looking at. You know, fired up guys heading into battle. You know, that type of stuff. That's what we're looking for.
Football's primal.
It is. That's a good word. It is very primal. And you want to get the fans motivated to disrupt the other team's offense. And Sweet Caroline, I don't know, not doing it for me. Let's see. Who else we got? We have Ross from Glasgow says, men of PFW, since you're alone, Fred. I totally agree with you, and I said it yesterday. The Jets have taken their trash talk too far, and it has done is ensure that Brady Belichick and the Pats will destroy them. We talk about playing for 60 minutes, and I guarantee that the Pats will do this. This is just the calm before the Patriots storm. After the Jets are destroyed, you and I might hope they show some humility. They won't, but that's okay. I'll settle for them mumbling under their breath about the Pats running up the score. Finally, I noticed the referee is Bill Levy. So at least Hockley can't ruin the game or favor the opposition. We'll have to wait for Mike Reese's blog on ESPNBoston.com. He always does a good job of doing a little research on who the officiating crew will be and what their, you know, patterns are as far as, you know, how many calls they make, you know, against the average, you know, and he's come up with some good things. And usually those patterns hold true. You know, Mike Carey's crew, for example, or Hockley's crew, they're known for calling more flags, and game in and game out, sure enough, there's more penalties called in the game when they do the Patriots game. And Belichick does a good job of that as well, of informing his players, look, these guys, this particular crew calls a lot of holding, so you got to watch it. You got to be a little careful. Or reverse, this particular crew kind of lets it go. So until we start getting caught, you know, maybe you want to, you know, get on the edge there. And see what happens. So I don't think you should poo-poo that type of stuff, that, you know, who the refereeing crew is and what their patterns are. It's good stuff. Let's see. Lynn Lee writes in. She says dog do is her subject. She says, during the Jets game, someone put a comment from a Jets forum on curse words. They said that they had a dog, and the dog took a dump in the living room. So his dad rubbed his nose in it, and the dog never took a dump again. Pat's 45, dogs 3. Well, it looks like the dog took another dump in the living room. What do you think he will do this time? Do you think if they pound the Jets, it will help carry them through to another Super Bowl win? I'm not sure what you mean there. Do you think it will carry the Patriots to another Super Bowl win? I just think a win will help them carry them to win. I don't think they necessarily need to pound them. I think they want to pound them, and I think given the chance, they will pound them. It will be relentless. There will be no mercy. You know, they can scream and cry all they want about running up. There will be no mercy up until the final whistle. And they'll have that to think about for the rest of the offseason. You know, they can think about that while they're making foot videos and having babies out of wedlock and all that stuff and not even knowing what their names are. And you know, that's what they can think about, is how they got pounded in their last game of the 2010 season. Let's see. Doc has handed me something. This is from Pro Football Talk, and it's called Brady Won't Take Cromartie's Bait. I've been called worse. Jets cornerback Antonio Cromartie became front page news when he called Patriots quarterback Tom Brady an a-hole and added F him. But Brady is declining to respond in kind. I've been called worse, Brady said. I'm sure there is a long list of people that feel that way. Brady's strategy seems to be to kill Cromartie with kindness rather than rip him with profane insults. He's a good player, Brady said. Darrell Revis is a great player. They have a great secondary. They're one of the best defenses we've faced. We spent a lot of time preparing for them, and what they're capable of doing over there to shut down the Colts' offense like they did is pretty impressive, because we know how good that offense is. We're going to be ready to play. For Brady, making headlines with trash talk isn't a priority this week. We're just going to do our talking on the field, Brady said. That's the way we've always chosen to do it. And as for whether all the talk will mean anything, Brady said, we'll see Sunday at 7:30. So that's the update there. I was there when Brady was being peppered about Cromartie, and it was interesting. I think the most interesting thing about Brady's conference that he had at his locker is toward the end, Mike Girardi from CSN NNE brought up the story that we were talking about yesterday here on the show about Bart Scott talking off the record about they know what they did against 45-3, what they did wrong, and what they need to do is funnel everything through the middle, and you know, they'll do it better this game. Girardi brought that up to Brady, and Brady, the look in his face was, you know, as if to say, oh, that's interesting. So I don't know what Brady's going to do with that, but that was one thing where he was interested to hear what the Jets had to say. And he said, look, you know, we try to be balanced and try to be all over the field. So I'm not exactly sure what he mean by that, because we try to be short, long, middle, outside the hash, inside the hash. You know, we try to do it all. But, you know, we'll see what he meant by that. He wasn't exactly sure. But he probably has an idea, knowing Brady. Let's see. The phones won't stop ringing. And right now, oh, guess who it is? It's Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Andy.
Hi, Fred. I'm enjoying the serious Fred. When you're by yourself, you really you sound like a real radio guy today.
What the hell am I going to do, make fun of myself? That's what I need you guys to do.
How's it going? You made it in safely?
No problems. You know, visibility wasn't that great, but you just take it slow, and, you know, I got here no problem.
Is it really the epicenter of the storm? Do you have, like, 10 feet of snow there?
It's close to 2 feet.
Really?
No doubt. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. But the crews here, Jim Nolan, I saw him in a plow truck. They've done a great job getting all the snow off the parking lot, so that's
wow.
Good.
Yeah. He calls plays and plows the parking lot. That's impressive.
Yep. And he had his cap on, too.
So what's up?
Nothing.
Cromartie is the talk of the day, I assume?
Yeah, have you listened to any of the press conferences or anything like that?
Yeah, and the one thing I will say is the Cromartie stuff, I hope you brought... He did... There was some respect in there, too. It wasn't all, he's an a-hole. Did you read the whole thing?
No.
Because he did say, I respect Tom Brady. He clearly loves the game of football, and that shows on the field. So obviously they're going to blow up the a-hole F him part of it. But he also clearly has some respect level.
But how do you call somebody an a-hole and F him if you respect them?
Well, that's why he's into I mean, we saw Hard Knocks. He's one of the dumbest people on the planet. So let's not pretend this guy's a Rhodes Scholar and knows what he's doing. But I did want to point out that there was some portion of that indicated a respect for Tom Brady, what he does on the field, and how much he, you know, how hard he plays, how much he loves the game
of
football.
But here's my point. We were talking, you and I were talking about this yesterday. It wasn't on the show, but this is why I think Belichick's way is better than what Ryan's trying to do, because you get guys like Cromartie who are idiots, and they'll say stuff like that, and, you know, and now look what happened. And I don't think that sheds good light on the organization when you have your players calling other guys a-holes and all that stuff, especially when it's a guy who's had, you know, eight kids with eight different women.
Right.
It's a joke.
Who's the a-hole?
It's a joke.
You know? It's also it ended, if I had any thought that the Jets could win this game, it went out the window.
You think so?
Because when Tom Brady's pissed off and when they have a bullseye now, it's not just Rex Ryan has the bullseye. Now they have specific players to target. It's over. Thanks for playing.
Well,
one
of the things, I don't know if you heard me, I do worry a little about Brady's adrenaline, because you know he's seething. You know underneath he's fired up. And we've seen some games where he comes out and early in the game he's a little off target because he's so pumped up, and I worry about that.
I have zero concern.
You do? Okay, good.
And now I agree with you more. He may have those 14 rushing yards because he will do anything and everything to win this football game.
Yeah.
If he has to play defense, if he has to go out and play safety, he'll do it. There is no doubt in my mind that they're going to win this game now.
Okay.
No doubt.
I hear you.
The other thing I wanted to talk about, though, and you know I'm not always one to defend Bill Belichick, but did you get William Berry's email about the Leonard Shapiro Washington Post thing?
I you know what? I haven't really.
This is a serious issue.
Yeah.
Leonard Shapiro, who I don't really know who he is, but he apparently writes for the Washington Post.
Okay.
Wrote an item about Patriots Jets, but in there are cheap shot comments about Bill Belichick being a proven cheater.
Right.
And that's fine, because that's fact. But what he writes is that he was fined and lost draft picks for taping another team's walkthroughs and using them later.
Yeah, that's wrong.
That's wrong. But that's, I mean, to me, that's worthy of a lawsuit.
Yeah.
That's factually inaccurate.
Well,
and this is the Washington Post. This is supposed to be one of the great papers in the world.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's just wrong, and I hope that Stacey James is listening, or I'm sure that's been brought to his attention, and there's been a call to this guy's editor, Shapiro's editor. But, that's just wrong.
I mean, we like
wrong.
To have fun on this show and say things and whatever, but this is written on a Washington Post website. I don't know if it was actually in the paper or just their website, but it's factually wrong. Don't they have editors? Don't they have anyone who checks? We've been down this road before when editors let things just get written that shouldn't be.
Right.
So, you need to look into that after the show if it hasn't already been addressed.
I'm on it. All right, Andy. Thanks for calling in.
No problem. I'm enjoying the snow.
Yeah? Okay.
I'm going sledding later.
Very good. Very good. You're going to leave the kids at home when you do it?
No, they're coming.
Okay.
We're venturing out.
You should go do a little skiing, Andy.
No, I will not be skiing. Even though I do have a pickup truck.
All right.
All right. See you. Have fun.
That's Andy Hart. And, of course, you know, we needed a little balance. So, you know, we brought in Andy. You know, he had to remind us all that, you know, Cromartie wasn't all bad. That's okay. Let's see. Aaron writes in. And Aaron is Sterling, Virginia. He says, first off, thank you very much for your dedication and getting in today. The show is always a bright spot in my day. Also, kudos to this new guy producing. He's no Kevin, but he's not too bad. I'm sure if he gets a few more reps, he'll do fine. On to the war of words. Can I say I hate the Jets? This team is a bunch of D-bags, and the coach is no different. These frigging losers lucked their way into so many wins this year, and yet they think they are the greatest team ever. Sanchez is a joke, and if he were on any other team, he would be considered a draft bust. Now, having said all that, I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game. If the Jets find a way to win this, I'm going to need to go to therapy. I hope that the Cromartie talk is not a plan to bait Brady into forcing the ball his way. Brady is known for going after guys who talk, and part of me thinks this might be part of a bigger scheme. Anyway, thanks, Freddie. The show is great and has the perfect amount of participation. I can't even say the word from Andy.
Participation?
Thank you. Why can't I say that word? Participation. Holy mackerel. Must be the pizza. Brendan from Fitchburg, do you think chanting P-A-T-S, Pats, Pats, Pats on Sunday during kickoffs would get inside the Jets' mind? I think the fans could get into that. No, you don't copy somebody else's thing in a positive way. That's just copying, and you know now they're thinking, wow, they can't even make up their own chant. They have a cop. You make fun of it. So what you do is you do the F-E-E-T, feet, 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 when they're on offense. Or you do, you know, J-E-T-S, suck, suck, suck. But I like the feet one better. And also, like I said, everyone in that stadium points at the Jets bench after every touchdown. And believe me, there'll be more than just a few. Matt in London, I can't wait for the game to arrive now, especially after Cromartie's comments about Brady. I'm hoping Brady goes right after him, just like Anthony Smith and the Steelers, and we torch him for a couple of scores. My question for you is, given our offense, where there is no true number one receiver, would you prefer Revis to be one, covering whoever lines up on his side, effectively taking that person away, whoever that may be, or two, lined up over Welker in the slot, not completely taking him out, but limiting his receptions? I'll take one in that scenario because we'll put Crumpler out wide. If they want to put Revis on Crumpler, fine. I don't think they're going to do that. I think they will at times, you know, have him teamed up with Welker or maybe Branch at times, trying to take away, you know, our one or two receiver. I don't think that they're just going to have him line up on one side of the field and just stay there. You can do that against the Colts, as we talked about yesterday, because the Colts line up Reggie Wayne on one side of the field, and so they had Revis on him all day, and so Revis was on one side of the field naturally. The Patriots don't do that. They don't always have Branch on one side. Sometimes I've seen Welker outside, you know, and not in the slot. So I don't think that the Jets would be stupid enough to just line up Revis on the outside and keep him there no matter what. So I'll take one, but I think we're going to have to live with two. And also Matt says, I think I would prefer him to just man one side of the field, as Bill would exploit that by lining. Right, we just talked about that. Okay. So I answered, Matt agrees with me. I just answered his question before he had a chance. Let's see. TG and NJ says, wow, a Homer edition of PFW. Nice. Never thought I'd be excited about a Fred-only show, but this week I think it's needed. Hey, Fred, does this mean that Andy Squidward and Paulie will be fined for not showing up today? Nice to have Doc back. Let's just leave it at that. Living down here behind enemy lines, I am not emotionally prepared to lose this game. I'm going to the game, and if the Pats lose, I don't think I will go back to New Jersey. That might be recommended. You might want to just lay low for a couple days before you go back. Okay, so Doc has just sent me this thing. Written by Leonard Shapiro. Do we really want to give this guy this much credit? You have read the whole thing on it.
I think once you start reading it, you'll get some good reaction from our listeners on it. He goes back and forth on trying to be up and up and Spygate and scandal.
Okay,
interesting piece.
Okay, so if I call him a scumbag before I read it, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because, you know, I don't want to cast judgments until I have all the facts, but I just did anyway. Leonard Shapiro, columnist for the Washington Post. It's called Doing the Right Thing. It would be tempting to speculate that the New England Patriots have become the dominant team in the AFC because of Bill Belichick, don't bless his cheating heart, has found another way aside from taping opponents Saturday walkthroughs to get an edge on every team the Pats have pounded in recent weeks. Okay, there's fallacy number one. They never did that. Is there a Patriots spy on a nearby rooftop overlooking a rival team's practice facility, peering down with long-range binoculars at daily workouts? Has he planted listening devices in opponents' meeting rooms? Has he chartered drone flybys to photograph formations from high above? Probably not. But after the insidious Spygate videotaping scandal of 2007, you really can't ever take anything for granted with the Patriots, even if they do have the best coach in the business, programming the best quarterback in the league at the moment when everything seems to be going their way. Perhaps Belichick really is doing the best job of his career with no shenanigans necessary, particularly when you consider the makeup of the Patriots, the youngest team he's fielded in the last dozen years. Consider, for example, that the Patriots are starting four or five rookies every week and that 16 players on their roster went undrafted out of college. As one Boston columnist put it recently, they're doing it with kids and cast-offs in a year when their defense also has been ranked near the bottom of the league in yards allowed and points scored by opposing offenses. Then again, after back-to-back blowout victories over a pair of nine-win teams, the Jets and Bears, they're obviously doing something right. For one, they haven't had a single turnover in the last five games. Well, when was this written? Hold on for a second.
It looks like this was written earlier in the season.
Oh, okay. They obviously it's before the last game. Brady has thrown 17 touchdown passes since his last interception, and since their now inexplicable loss to the Cleveland Browns on November 7th, they are averaging 39 points a game and allowing the opposition only 17.6. The team is getting better, CBS analyst Phil Simms gushed midway through the impressive conquest of the Bears. Here's the bad news for the rest of the league. Since Brady and Belichick have teamed up in 2001, their winning percentage has been 806 after Thanksgiving, an astounding rate of success. Is this a better team than the 18-1 Patriots of 07, only a stunning Super Bowl loss to the Giants preventing a perfect season? That's a question that will only be answered if the Patriots win it all in Dallas in February. But the way this team has been put together and the way this team plays together seems to be a textbook example of doing the right thing. Let's just use one example. Consider how Mike Shanahan dealt with Albert Haynesworth's situation, drawing it out into a season-long debilitating distraction. And then look how Belichick dealt with his own problem Pro Bowl child, Randy Moss, who was gone in a New England second when it became apparent early on that his presence was a cancer on the team. Here's hoping that Belichick has been doing all of this on the up and up and is still eminently worthy of a first ballot induction into the Hall of Fame despite that Hall of Shame performance 3 years ago. Yeah, well, okay. Backhanded compliment from Leonard Shapiro. You got it all wrong. They didn't tape anybody's walkthrough. What they did do was tape signals and basically transcribe them after the fact. And up until 06, there was no rule against that. I read the Ray Anderson memo, and even after the memo came out, there's still a question about whether it was okay to use it as long as it wasn't being used in the game. So, you know, we're talking about stealing signals. And if you ask me, a big mountain was made out of that molehill. But that's another show. We can talk about that and relive that anytime we want. But he got it wrong. And, if anything, Belichick is he's a stickler to the rules. He pushes the envelope, but only because he understands the rules to a T and he knows what he can do. You can't push the envelope unless you know where the envelope ends. And that's to Belichick's credit and his staff. And I think any owner, if Belichick was available today, would pay a king's ransom to get him on his team. That's how much they think he's a cheater, okay? They want their coach doing everything within the rules to have their team win, and that's what Belichick does. And like I said, Leonard Shapiro can say anything he wants, but 31 other owners at this very moment would take him in a heartbeat. And that's a fact, not opinion. Let's see. Hey, Craig, formerly of North Carolina, now in Philly, is on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Craig.
Hey, what's going on, Wild Man? You're doing a hell of a job on Are You Lonesome?
Thank you. I haven't heard from you in a long time. Jeez. What's going on?
I sound like a freaking Riddler or something. What's up?
Hey, what are you up to, man? You're in Philly?
Yeah, job move.
All right, I was going to say, what kind of punishment was that for? You know, what did you do?
Well, I live about 40 minutes outside of Philly, but you wouldn't recognize the name of the town, so.
Okay.
Yeah, still working for the same company. The place I was working at, they decided to close it, and the company wanted to keep me, so I transitioned.
Right.
And I had intentions on calling you guys a bunch of times, but between meetings and being a leveraged resource, I move around a lot.
Right.
So, hey, I love what you've been doing with the show, and just wanted to kind of chime in. I don't care how things go from this point forward. Of course, I want the guys to win, But if we all think back to the beginning of the season, when we had so much youth on our D, young players, Moss really not contributing, this did look like a rebuilding year. And the fact that we're this far ahead of schedule with the promise of success that the Pats have with all their youth, probably the best coach that ever took a breath, along with Brady, hell, the next 5 years look pretty good.
Absolutely. I mean, we are set up. We were talking about this early in the show, Craig. They have three picks in the first 33 picks, you know, in the top 33, and then, of course, six in the first three rounds. But, you know, three picks in the top 33, I mean, you're right. They're set up for the future. Brady's, you know, he's got four or five more years, and you know, at the top of his game, and all the youth on defense, and that's really what you're talking about. This defense is only going to get better over time.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, it's kind of early to talk about draft picks, but it was mentioned the other day on one of the NFL Network shows that the reason why Belichick keeps trading down and doesn't use his first round pick is because he doesn't think anybody should get paid more than Brady. So, you know, if we've got tons of picks this year, it might be time to trade for a highly qualified free agent.
Well, I don't know. I didn't hear that on NFL Network. I'm not buying it. That's not why I don't think he trades down. He trades down because of, you know, whether or not you like it, his value system. You know, there's certain guys that are in the same value, and he believes if I can trade down, pick up extra picks, and still get somebody in that same value range, then that's what's good for my team. You know, some people don't like that, but, you know, he believes in it. And, you know, over the last 2 years, they've had some pretty good drafts. Who's to complain? I mean, who has been more successful over the last decade than the New England Patriots? So
The proof's in the pudding.
Right.
I mean, look at our team. We're like we've been talking about, we're set up for the next 5 or 6 years to have success. I do think that there were probably some Pats when Josh was fired. There were some Pats that probably, you know, felt like maybe we ought to look at getting him back for offensive coordinator. But I think our offensive coordinator is doing an awesome job. The redevelopment of our offense, you know, using the quick, speedy guys running crisp routes along with the tight ends, awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. And there's no way in hell the Jets beat us.
Well, I hope you're right, Craig. I'm right with you. I don't think any of us are emotionally prepared to lose the game, but I don't think we have to worry about it because, you know, according to Rex, we're not even playing the Jets. We're only playing him. It's Rex against the Patriots, so, you know, we don't have to worry about it.
What's weird is, you know, his dime store philosophy is clearly an attempt to divert attention away from the holes he has in his bag. I mean, the Jets' D has very limited pass rush. Sanchez totally lacks confidence. And I think Bill, being the historian that he is, and there's a reason why he has those wry smiles on his face after these types of games, he's going to pull a couple tricks out of his bag and hand Rex a beat down.
Well, I heard that actually he was on his way up here early because he heard we had 2 feet.
Right. Yeah, maybe a song Sunday ought to be Nobody Toes the Trouble I've Seen.
All right, Craig, thanks for calling in. Good hearing you, Craig, one of our original listeners. He's been listening for a long time. Let's see, Marcus for you, Fred. In the cold but not as snowy, D.C. writes in, you've roped me back in, Fred. Great show so far. You're holding it down well without the other boys and Eric. I'm so ready to get rid of the Jets once and for all in this 2010 season. What I think Belichick should do is have one of his assistants put one of the Super Bowl rings in their pocket. So after we stomp the Jets in the ground, he can put it on for the end of the game handshake and grind it into Rexy's real hand real good at midfield for all to see. Well, yeah. I mean, I would love to see that. I don't think it's ever going to happen, but it would be funny. But I think that definitely, Doc, you need to, once the game is in hand, once we know we're going to win, get those rings up on that video board. Get them up there. Huh?
We were thinking of doing a little trash talk segment.
Yeah.
Of some of the greatest quotes of Mr. Ryan.
Yeah.
You know, my team is Super Bowl champions. We're the best team in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, him ripping on Brady.
Sure. And
a little bit of that.
You should have like a pointing finger, you know, angled toward their bench on the video board after every touchdown.
But you know what else you need? We just need all the fans when John Rook goes, that play is good for another Patriots.
Right.
First down,
right?
They should all point
absolutely
right at them. It's the right motion. And
absolutely,
everything.
I mean, you know, they admit it. It bothers them. So why shouldn't we do it? You know, they're asking us to do it.
Todd Haley could never work for them.
Because
of his pointing at Josh McDaniels after the handshake.
Oh, right.
He'd offend everybody in their locker room.
Let's see, Kyle from Match Vegas. Just want you to know we are getting buried with roughly 13 to 14 inches so far. So you aren't alone. But I have elected Andy, Paul and Eric way of working. I've elected to work from home like they have. Okay, well, anyway. Anyway, do you think we see a little more involvement from Edelman this Sunday? After the last game, it was his best performance of the season. We could. There's only so many balls to go around, though, but we'll see. I would think he continues to add to the mismatch between the Pats receivers and the Jets secondary because of his size and quickness. And after showing good confidence in executing when he got the ball his way during the Dolphins win, I would love to see him as part of their game plan. Yeah, I mean, it's intriguing to know what he can do because he's so good after the catch. He stops on a dime. He's got great instincts when running. But, you know, we'll see. You know, who do you take off the field when he's on? He got so many reps last, you know, 2 weeks ago because Welker was out. And, you know, he's basically Welker's backup. So, if Welker's out there, and he's not, but you never know. I mean, like a lot of callers have said today, and I said earlier, Bill O'Brien, he's got a great bag of tricks. He knows how to mix it up. There's a lot of things that we saw in camp that we haven't seen so far this season. So they haven't emptied out the playbook. There's still some things yet to be used. Not sure that you want to pull it out in a game like this because it's so important, but I wouldn't be surprised to see something that we haven't seen yet and see maybe Welker and Edelman out in the field at the same time, you know, in the backfield. we saw a little bit of all of this in training camp, so I wouldn't be surprised to see any of that. And that's why the Patriots are so dangerous, because they can do all that stuff. We'll see. I'm sure I can guarantee we will see something we haven't seen before on Sunday. Let's see. Tiff in Wisconsin, thanks for coming in on a snow day. Other guys stayed home. I am in Wisconsin laughing at Andy and Paul. Thanks for giving us another day of Pete Shepard. We need Pete on Jets playoff week. By the way, I'm sure we will hear LaDainian Tomlinson reject and denounce Cromartie in no time. LaDainian is a classy guy, and he will announce in a presser how classy a guy he actually is. Good point. You know, a lot of class on that team. And I know Andy said, you know, we also showed him respect in the same article. That his true feelings came out. You know, Tom Brady pointed at us. Oh! Let's see. Doc says there will be a live edition of Playbook after today's show with John Rook. Oh, that's nice. Was there ever a question?
Yeah, we were a little unsure. We were hoping to do an AK-47 because John was supposed to be out of town today. But
he got swamped.
John can't leave, so John's around, and seeing as how the A and the K both didn't show up today, we'll just go back to the Playbook.
Okay. Maybe we can get him some guests or something. You know, because I'm okay alone, but, you know, he needs the support.
I thought you could do the Scalavino role and sit in with him.
I actually have other things to do today. Let's see. It's not like school where, you know, no homework because it snowed. Fred, Halifax writes in, I now say keep it up, Jesters, but what I have been readying the last 3 days, Patriots Nation is growing by leaps and bounds. Stay classy, Jets. Little disjointed email there by Fred, but I get his meaning. Because, you know, we are English majors here, and we have to keep people honest with their emails. Bob in Montreal, Fred, always like your webcast. Longtime Pats fan, and as I'm a little confused, the Jets seem to be throwing everything at the Pats and generally exhibiting a no-class attitude while the Pats are sitting back and enjoying the Jets making fools of themselves. Doesn't this sound like a desperate team trying desperate measures? Yeah, it's a good point, Bob. I mean, if they're so good, the Jets, if they're so good and they're the better team, why are they doing all this? Why do they need? Why do they feel the need to do this? And the answer is, Rex Ryan knows they're not that good. He'll come out and say it, but he knows his team is flawed, and they're fatally flawed when it comes to playing the Patriots. I don't care about what happened in week two when the Patriots were just figuring out who the players on this team were, because that was early. Now they know, and Ryan knows that his team is fatally flawed. That's why they're throwing out all this garbage. They wouldn't be doing it if they were confident, truly confident, that they were the better team. You know, and, you know, Andy says, you know, they're not afraid of the Patriots. And Rex Ryan said in his press conference, they're not afraid of the Patriots. You know, they're concerned with the Patriots, he says, but they're not afraid. They're afraid. They're afraid to get the same type of beatdown on Sunday that they got in December. They are afraid of that, and they should be, because it's a very likely possibility that they will get that. Because I'm telling you, the construction of that team, the Jets, if things go south early, they will abandon their team. They will start to, each of them, start to separate themselves from each other, and they will become not a team. They'll become a bunch of individuals who are just trying to save face, and they save face by acting like they don't care anymore. We see a lot of guys in the NFL that do that, that have a reputation for doing that as soon as things go south. One of them is that guy with the dark visor on the Jets, LT. Remember him with the coat over his head while his team's out there trying to win a playoff game, not even, you know, urging his fans on? He's unhappy because he's hurt. More unhappy about himself than he is trying to help his team win by just being there for them. You know, he's got to go sit on the bench by himself. That's what I'm talking about. There's more of those types of guys on the Jets than there are, you know, not. So I'm telling you, if things go south, it'll be over early. They won't be coming back against the Patriots like they did against the Lions. And that's no insult to the Lions. I'm sorry. I don't mean to insult the Lions. They're a competitive team. They gave the Patriots everything they could handle on Thanksgiving Day. But, you know, Patriots are a little different team than the Lions, and I think the Lions would admit that to a man. Joel from Merrimack. Hey, guys, or I guess I should say hi, Fred. Where are Andy and Paul? Well, they're sucking their thumbs under the blankets at home because, you know, there's a little bit of snow on the ground. No, it's pretty bad out there. And, you know, Paul's not a very good driver anyway. So even on a good day, it's tough having him out on the road. It's like Mr. Magoo. Heard Eric call in. Not much there. Missed the first 50 minutes of the show waiting for the link to come up. What?
Yeah, Joel and I were emailing back and forth. Once the press conference came on,
Christ.
The scroll bar at the top wasn't showing our show. So I directed him to the little toolbox on the side with .com radio.
All right. Because that was one of my best 50 minutes of work ever. So I don't want...
I thought so, too.
Anyway, on to the Pats. First and foremost, Cromartie's an idiot. Wow, how do you personally diss someone because he makes it a habit of beating you? I mean, I understand that Footboy and company are always looking to make good sound bites, but to make it personal, wow, that's kind of pathetic. I'm looking forward to another beatdown. I know all the pundits and predictors are saying that it is going to be a close game, but I don't think so. The Pats have too many weapons. Game should be 35-14. Pats rule. Anyway, keep up the great show. You hold up well by yourself. Well, you know, I spend the week talking to myself when it comes to telling these guys what to do. So, let's see. A lot of emails coming in. Thank you for hanging with me today. 508-543-7482 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. And again, John Rook will be live after this with another edition of Playbook. So wherever you are in the world, Patriots have you covered. Roberto from Maitland, Florida. Another Florida emailer. I mean, I would be outside. Anyway, will Tom Brady be picking on Antonio Cromartie during the Pats-Jets game? Will alter game plan, a la when Brady was trying to force passes to Randy Moss? Okay, so does he think he'll force it because of what Cromartie said? No. Brady's too smart for that. He's not going to do that. But if he sees Cromartie one-on-one, and somebody raises his hand, he'll be going there. I mean, Cromartie's not going to be shutting anybody out. He's not Darrell Revis, okay? he's a good cornerback, though. I'll give you that. And, you know, if we're running Tate down the sideline every play, Cromartie will stick with him. He'll win most of those battles. But that's fine. Let's get, you know, by doing that, we're taking Cromartie out of the mix, too. So I wouldn't worry about that. Roberto says, I'm concerned that the Jets trash-talking will affect the Patriots by them altering their approach and trying to embarrass individual players in the field, as opposed to fighting back in the media. You know, Roberto, Patriots have been through this before. Bill Belichick and Brady have been through this before, where teams have shown them disrespect. And, yeah, sometimes they have gotten at the guy, but how many times in the past have you seen when that happened that they tried to force it to the guy that was making the you know, the sound bites? Don't worry about that. They'll be fine. They'll be fine that way. Let's see. John in South Carolina, guys, or I mean Fred, I see this game as more than just another Pats and Jets game. It's a game between right and wrong, good and bad, the Pats and the douchebags. This game makes me nervous because I want it so bad. I know exactly what you're saying, John. I know how that feels. I feel as if all this talk is just to try to lure the Pats in the wrong direction. I keep thinking about the passes Brady threw to Moss against the Jets. As bad as I want this game, I don't want them to prove a point. I want them to do their job and win. I don't care if it's by 1 point or 30 points. Do you think the Jets talking is just talking, or do you think it's a strategy? When Cromartie does it, I don't think it's a strategy. When Ryan does it, I think it is part of an overall strategy, and I think people are right when he says he's trying to deflect some of the questions away from Mark Sanchez. Again, Mark Sanchez has thrown one touchdown and seven interceptions at Gillette Stadium. Just at Gillette Stadium. There's got to be a reason for that. Most of it is the Patriots' defense, but a lot of it is Sanchez himself gets rattled. And, you know, I don't think that the, you know, as good as the receivers are, you know, Santonio Holmes and all that, I don't think their offense works as cohesively and as smartly as the Patriots' offense. I really don't. I think Bill O'Brien's a better coordinator than Brian Schottenheimer. You know, I think, you know, as good as LT was and Sean Green, I'll take right now Ben Jarvis, Green Ellis, and Danny Woodhead over them any day of the week because they're smarter. LT might be more talented, but I think our guys play within the system, and I think they're just smarter. Let's see. Hey, guys, and Eric Scalavino, and Mr. Scalavino. This is Frederick in Denmark. Great thing about this game is twofold. One, from now on, we're playing with house money. We didn't expect to get this far. I was thinking wild card weekend round before the season. So from now on, it's just time to enjoy the team's success and, most of all, the exciting young players. I'm not sure I'm with you there, Fred. When you're in it, you don't want to lose it. I don't care if it's house money, and I don't think it is house money. You know, I think, you know, you're going to feel real bad if you lose this game, you know, heaven forbid. But I would not be able to shrug this off if they lost. And two, even if the Jets win, they will still lose because of all the trash talking they've been doing. They are trying to get the Patriots to bite and it just doesn't work. So even if they win, all they will get out of Belichick or Brady will be, we didn't perform well and they did. So no matter what, they won't get what they want. I actually think the psychological games are more important to Rex than the actual game. I'm feeling quite confident about this one. Let's go with 30-17, F-E-E-T, feet, feet, feet. Oh, I really hope people do that chant. That would it would be great. Mark, a little late, wanted Craig to sing the national anthem. He already did that. So we already have that on tape.
By the dawn's early light.
Right, there you go.
Anyway, it goes on.
Okay. Nano writes, and remember last week when Paul said the best time to take photos of women was when they weren't aware that you were photographing them? Did HR have a talk with him after the show? Has anyone questioned him about this? Also, will he be leaving to go work for the Eagles organization? After all, they have a history of such matters. Yeah, they actually got caught taking pictures of their cheerleaders in the locker room. I don't remember him saying that, so I don't know. Anyway, Let's see. Eric says, per our friends at the Globe, the team was in shells inside the fieldhouse for practice. Cunningham returned. So Pryor was the only absentee. I'll post the info on the blog, too.
And Eric said he's wearing a blue throwback logoed Patriots hoodie, not a sweater today.
No, he's wearing a blue Patriots logo bathrobe. That's what he's wearing. Unless he lost his heat, and then maybe he has a hoodie on. Christian from Denmark. What's this? Glad to see that the man is still there, unlike the rest of the girls who won't let the snow ruin their perm. With regards to the article you just read, is it wrong? This is the Leonard Shapiro article. Is it wrong that I like that image that Bill has gotten almost a Bond villain? That's kind of cool. I think Rex Ryan is like Jabba the Hutt, big, fat, white, and incoherent.
It's funny because he's fat.
Patch 3417. Okay. I do like the idea of people fearing Belichick the way they do, and that they never know, and they realize that he's smarter than us. I don't like the idea of someone saying that the Patriots did something against the rules when they didn't do it, flat out. Let's see. Brooklyn Matt writes in, says, what's the guy's name from South Carolina who's now in Philly? Craig or something? Hey, Fred, what a freaking goon. Oh, come on. Craig is one of our best emailers. I like his calls, but, geez, listen to him. The proof is in the pudding and dime store philosophy. It's dime store psychology, for Christ's sake, not philosophy. God, what a goon. Oh, come on. So, anyway, I do like emailer and emailer crime, though. That's good. No wonder his company transferred him all over the place. It was fun to hear call-ins from Eric and Andy. I bet Eric is going figure skating. Oh, and I learned that Andy drives a pickup truck. No big surprise there. Andy definitely has a pickup truck male mentality. It's true. You know, it's either that or a Porsche. He just can't afford a Porsche. So, you know, makes up for something else. Fred says, Omar, you haven't talked about the weather yet. What type of weather do you think we're going to have for the game? And especially, what type of weather do we want? You know, is it going to be snowy or cold and sunny? I think it's going to be low 30s and sunny. The Patriots are better for sure. Ryan knows he can get whooped again, so tell Belichick to watch out for an early onside kick like the Packers did to us and other tricks in general. And P.S., tell Kevin thanks for sending me a division hat I won during the Shop Talk radio show. Well, there you go. Good, Omar. You got yourself a hat.
According to NOAA.gov, the weather will be 34 and sunny.
34 and sunny. So that's almost summer-like here. So that won't be a problem. The field, and there's no snow after today. So it's not like maybe Saturday it'll snow and they'll have to clear it. This is it for the week, so you know, from what I've seen. So it'll be fine. And you know what? The better team always has an advantage, no matter what. You know, we saw in Chicago, everyone thought, oh, you know, the snow's going to slow down the Patriots' offense. It didn't. When it's like that, the offense has the advantage because they know where they're going. Defense has to react to everything, so they're always a step behind anyway, and now they're two steps behind or more because of the snow. And then when it's nice conditions, the better team has the advantage because, you know, it's easier to operate. So the better team always has the advantage. The only time that might not be the case is really severe weather, or like we saw 2 years ago in Buffalo when it was just so windy. It was just incredibly windy. You know, and the Patriots, I think, won that game. I think it was something like 17-3. It was a low-scoring game, and it's pretty amazing the Patriots scored as many points as they did. It might even be less than that. It might have been 10-3. I forget. Paul is good at all that stuff. I'm not. But I know it was low scoring. Neither team could really do much. And wind, if you ask any coach, wind is a much bigger factor than precipitation or cold. Let's see. Michelle writes in, both, what does Fred have in common with Brady? Both play their best in the snow. It seems that the Jets get a free pass because a bias that people have against the Pats. Dave Dameshek said on his shame report, why isn't the Patriots America's team? They're red, white, and blue. Their players are small, scrappy players that play well.
He then made the joke that it was because of Belichick. Which do you think keeps the Pats from being America's team, Belichick or the Pats' dominance over the past decade? I know the Cowboys have the claim to America's team, and there's no doubt they have the biggest fan base because of their early, you know, their dominance so early, you know, back in the day. And
how about them Cowboys?
Believe it or not, a big part of that is having the first cheerleading squad. That plays a big part of it. It attracted a lot of attention to them early. And, so they're America's team. Other than that, in the NFL, you know, I think that one of the things I love about the NFL is that people generally stick with their team. There's not a lot of jumping across borders. And, you know, people, when you're that good, people start to hate you. And the Patriots have been that good. So, you know, back in the 70s and 80s and 90s, there wasn't a reason, up until Kraft bought the team, there wasn't a reason to be vocal in your opposition to the Patriots. Now there is, so now you're hearing it. You know, when the Raiders were playing well, people hated the Raiders. Now all that's left of the Raiders are the diehard fans. And they are diehard. I'd give them that much. But it's not fun making fun of the Raiders because they don't win. I know they're 8-8 this year, but you know what I mean. People hate the Patriots because they're good. And, you know, as fans, relish in that. You know, it was a long time coming. And now we're there. And, you know, when you're on the top of the mountain, everyone's trying to knock you down. So accept it. And be happy that you're the team that everyone hates. Let's see. Who else we got here? Brett in Orlando. I have a different take on this game than most. The Jets are a means to an end. And after the Pats win this game, they should forget it and immediately start focusing on the Steelers-Ravens winner. The Jets are like a white belt fighting in the black belt Patriots. White belt fighting the black belt Patriots. The black belt's goal is not to beat the white belt, but to win the tournament. They know they are an inferior team, that the only chance they have to win is a Brady injury or stupid diversionary tactics. If the Pats win, they should be happy to be one step closer to the Super Bowl and not happy to have beaten the Jets, because I think that a loss this week would be just as bad as a loss in the AFC title game. Well, I can tell you one thing. If the Jets win, they're going to treat it like they won the Super Bowl. I can tell you that. But, you know, Brett brings up a good point. When two candidates are running for an office and one is the clear leader, usually that person doesn't really want to get into a debate with the other guy, because what do you have to win? And it's kind of like the Patriots. Why do we want to get in the gutter with the Jets? You know, they're doing this because they are desperate. So ignore them. They can go debate themselves. We don't need to give them that forum where it's back and forth. Let them rail at the wind, you know, if they want. It's not worth it. Buddy from Tallahassee, Florida. What the hell is going on with Florida today? Hey, I'd love to see the Pats hand the Jets a loss like a few weeks ago. I think the Pats are capable of it. I can't stand the Jets, and I'm extremely tired of their mouths. And I can't wait until the game. I hope we can shut them up and shut them out 34-0. That's Buddy from Tallahassee, Panhandle. Let's see. William Berry writes in, according to weather.com, high of 33, low of 19, 20% chance of precipitation. Still, tell me the forecast on Saturday. That's a good point, William. Things change quick. I mean, we were talking, you know, in the beginning of the show, this blizzard that we're having today, that's one they got right for the last couple of days. They said it was coming and pretty much nailed it on the head. The one thing that's odd is where we are, it seems to be more than any other area. Foxborough, Mass. We're sort of not quite near water, but not too far. We're just enough inland to get the moisture, but not so far where, you know, it's just like kind of the perfect location today for the type of storm we're having. And then what's making it worse is now we're getting cold air coming down from the north, and so all this stuff is freezing and it's getting harder to shovel. Doc, do you shovel?
I do. I shovel the sidewalk in front of my building.
Oh, you don't have a driveway or anything?
No.
Okay. What do you do, copter in? You take a helicopter in?
No, I park in a garage a couple blocks from my apartment in the North End.
The garage in the North End. Oh, hoi polloi.
Oh, with the hours here, I'd never find parking on the street with all the people.
With the hours
at the
here, why would you live in the North End? I'd move closer.
Good point.
Tony in East Lansing, Michigan. Hey, guys, love the show. I listen almost every day, so I think a guy that could be an X factor for the Patriots this postseason is Brandon Tate. Yes, Brandon Tate. As the season has progressed, Tate has shown the ability to make plays in the passing game as well as the return game. If he continues to progress and can become more of a dependable target for Brady, his speed can cause a big play. I see Tate coming up with one or two big plays per game, which in the playoffs may decide the game, whether they are receiving the ball or on a kickoff return. Anyway, go Pats. Can't wait for these games to start. Even though I'm wary of counting my chickens too soon, I don't see the Jets giving us a problem. The Ravens and Packers are the only teams left that scare me. Keep up the good work. And Paul, you're the man. Paul, how does he get a shout-out? He's not even here. Jeez. Let's see. What else we got? Let's see. Three penalties to PFW wusses for not showing up from Pete in the UK. Eric has to sing I'm a Little Teapot. I like it. Paul must videotape the nod to be played on the Videotron at Gillette Stadium as soon as the Patriots have a 10-point lead. Yeah, I don't think I think that would be funny for us, but I think 68,000 people wouldn't know what the hell's going on. All they see is this bald guy nodding on the video screen. They'd be like, what the hell is that? And Andy at Game in the Press Box wears one of those giant condoms over his head, face, and shoulders labeled Save Cromartie's Future Kids. I like it. I love it. Although, where the hell are you going to find a condom big enough to put on his head? What else we got? We did the Rex Ryan poem. I unfortunately, I couldn't read it. It was too dirty. I can't read that. What does it say? Rook for crossover. Oh, John's on the phone. Hey, John. Well, I mean, I'm looking through glass, and he's written in, like, light blue ballpoint. I can't even read.
I get it completely. It looks like it's me and you today, pal.
That's it. That's it. We're just
How was the travel getting in?
It wasn't too bad. Once I got on the road, you know, sometimes the visibility was bad, and the worst thing is avoiding the snow plows. But the roads were really empty, so you just took it slow, and I got here no problem around 9:30.
And what was the other guy's excuses?
They're pussies.
I kind of knew that, but I thought there might be something else. Like I've been snowed in. I've been packed in with the snow that goes plowed in the street, and I can't dig my way out.
Rex says we're supposed to say what's on our mind, so that's what I'm doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, Rex is right. You know, he's right to an extent. But I'm glad that the guys down the hallway there don't say what's on their mind, because I think that's probably the better way to go. I mean, honestly, I thought I would never be flabbergasted by anything that came out of, the Jets locker room. But what Antonio Cromartie has to say just blows me away. Why do they feel the need to tweak, the nose of guys like Tom Brady and Bill Belichick when they know they're going to get it jammed right back in their faces?
And John, I was talking about this yesterday with Andy. Fine, okay, Rex wants to be that way. But you have to realize your players are going to follow your lead.
Exactly.
And they're not as smart as you.
That's right.
Exhibit A is Antonio Cromartie. The man is an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, to do what he's done with his life, with all the kids and all the wives, not wives, but women, you know he's an idiot. So you have to be careful as a coach when you're setting that example and you have guys like that on your team. And every team has them because they all have 53 guys. So that's why Belichick's way is the more prudent way. Because these guys can't help themselves.
No question. I mean, Antonio Cromartie should be one to talk, for God's sake,
Right. Who's
the
bigger a-hole?
I know. So I'm just like, wow, this is just spectacular. And I got to admit, whatever happens on Sunday, whether the Patriots find a way to, beat the Jets and move on, or if the Jets somehow pull this off, the postgame locker room is going to be one of the most interesting places to be, I think, that we've had in some time. Either A, trying to get, trying to find out if the Jets actually are going to gloat, or B, see what kind of mea culpa they do.
You have to wonder if they're going to gloat. Oh, my God. They're gloating before the game. I'm telling you.
I just don't. Time and time again, the thing that kills me is time and time again, this happens against the Patriots. The Patriots come out, and they absolutely roll over people.
Yeah.
And so why the Jets would do this, I mean, it's just This is why, Fred, I have said Rex Ryan, I realize he's a good coach. He's a galvanizer. You know, he's been good, you know, to increase the football fortunes of that franchise, perhaps. But I have said, and I will maintain, he is nothing but a buffoon. He's an absolute B-U-F-F-O-O-N. No two ways about it, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And the reason he is because he's going to open his mouth, he's going to create all this controversy, and his team's going to get it thrown right back in his face.
Yep.
The Patriots are one of the few teams in the NFL that can probably, you know, make him eat his words. But then when you have an idiot, you know, obviously a guy who's got an IQ lower than, I don't know, about 70, and Antonio Cromartie, who opens up his mouth and says what he does, you know, about Tom Brady. You know, if I'm the Jets organization, I don't know how in the heck you could be proud of that.
Right.
Unless, of course, you somehow win the Super Bowl.
Well, that's the thing. You know, like even after before the last game where the Patriots won, before the game, Rex Ryan came out unsolicited. No one asked him his opinion, but he said, you know, a lot of people are saying the Patriots are the best team. You know, all the experts except me, I happen to think we're the best team in the league. Okay. But now after the game, no one asked him, Rex, before the game, you know, you said your team was the best team. Do you still believe that? No one asked him that question.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I wish they did because, you know, if he had just done what the Patriots, he wouldn't have to, he should be answering, but that wouldn't even be an option to ask because, you know, the Patriots don't have, God forbid, if they lose this game, the Patriots don't have to worry about people going in the locker room and saying, well, you said this before the game, now what do you say?
Right.
You know, if you're a Patriot and you lost, all you have to say is, well, you know, we said before that they were a good team and they really outplayed us today. You know, you don't have to worry about having your words come back to haunt you. You know, I just think that's the smarter thing to do. While you're on the field, give it to them. You know, up and down, trash talk them as much as you want on the field. But in the media, it never pays to do that.
No kidding.
You know?
No kidding. I couldn't agree more. I when I read that this morning, and I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know, what is he thinking? And obviously he's not.
Yeah.
You know, but if I'm a teammate, I'm like, at some point in time, if I'm a leader on this team, I got to stand up and say, hey, look, let's not, I mean, the bravado here, the false bravado that the Jets are showing is out of control. And, you know, this is totally and completely going to blow up in their faces.
Yep.
if there is a football god out there. Because this, I mean, if it for some reason happens the other way, then the problem will never go away.
Right.
I would keep thinking that if the Patriots could find a way, you know, it was 45-3 the last beatdown. And if the Patriots can even somehow come close to approaching that, that's the only way that I think you'll be able to, you know, finally tell the Jets, hey, look, your shtick doesn't work here.
Yeah, well, I think as long as Rex Ryan's the coach, they'll never get it.
Well, you're probably right about that, and that's why he's a buffoon. Because, listen, if I'm an owner of that team, you know, I want to have at least some modicum of sportsmanship. Think of the example that this is setting.
Right.
If I'm a Jets fan, I realize, you know, I may not be Fireman Ed, but if I'm a Jets fan, I'm cringing.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely cringing that these guys are doing this.
That's
and I'm like,
good...
and I'm also thinking, you know what? I sure as hell hope they can, you know, put it up out on the field because I really wish they would shut up.
I mean, you know, you said it right because, you know, we've had Patriots fans call and say, you know, I'm worried, Fred, if we lose, I'll just feel terrible losing to these guys. Imagine what Jets fans feel if they lose. You know, now they're.
Well, I think Jets fans have to feel like we got nothing to lose because we got beat 45-3 the last time.
Yeah, but, you know.
So let's just let it all hang out. If we lose, hey, you were supposed to beat us.
Yeah, but, you know, I'll bet you the fans are doing their share of talking as well. So.
They have to be.
Yeah.
They have to be. It's an interesting scenario. It almost begs the question: what the hell's going to happen tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, and so you know, it's all going to be great theater leading into the kickoff. And I'm just glad that the Patriots choose to take the road that they take. If the Jets are opting to take the road that they're taking, I think it's proper and it's the right way to go. And I think the Patriots will have all of the sentiment, not only in New England, but from around the country, outside of New York, on their side, because they seem to be doing things the way that, you know, I think decent society expects them to.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said early in the show, most of what Rex says is funny. I mean, he's entertaining. I could care less.
Sure.
You know, but I think they really kind of crossed the line this week, and it's just, now it's getting a little bit tiresome.
And
well, not only tiresome, but it's obviously gotten personal.
Yeah.
So, come on, fellas. I mean, it's one thing to stand up and say, you know, we're going to beat your ass, but it's another same thing to call a guy an a-hole.
You know,
so good for the Patriots for not taking the bait.
And you know, I think the media has been pretty easy on Rex. You know, if there's any guy that we could get personal with in a press conference, it's Rex.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stuff there that, you know, he said it's personal and no one has ever gone at it again. But, you know, I said this earlier, you know, Brandon Spikes, when he had his ill-advised video in the beginning of the year and it came out, you know, he came out there and said, I'm sorry. He apologized to his teammates. He apologized to the owner. He apologized to the fans through the media for causing an undue distraction to the team and shedding a bad light. He apologized.
Right.
To my knowledge, Rex Ryan has not done the same.
No.
All he's done is say it's personal, but he hasn't apologized. Maybe he has to Woody Johnson behind closed doors. I would expect he, but to the fans in public, I don't think he's ever apologized.
No, I don't think so either.
You know, so I mean,
I don't think so either.
I mean,
the whole foot fetish thing is an embarrassment to the organization anyway. So, I mean, that on top of, you know, the coach, you know, calling out Belichick, I mean, come on. I mean, you know, this is, I just don't think that we, I think there's room for theater. I think we can all agree that, because too often the NFL has been called the no fun league. So that's fine. I love the rivalry. I think it's great that we get this going. I love the fact that, you know, everybody around here seems to hate the Jets. The Jets seem to hate the Patriots. So I think that is fine, because that helps make a better game out of the product that we're purporting on the public here. But when it starts getting personal and you start dragging people's personalities into it and say, I don't like that guy. Why? Because he's an a-hole. I mean, just, you know,
right.
I think we're crossing the line now.
Yeah.
So if the Jets want to cross the line, if they're comfortable doing that, first of all, that ought to tell you something about their character.
Right.
Second, and which I don't think a whole lot of.
Right.
Second of all, the only way that you can correct the problem is by whacking the guy in the mouth, and I hope that takes place on Sunday.
You and me both.
And then
both.
We can kind of go from there.
Remember, John, F-E-E-T, feet. All right. Have a good show. I got to get out. John standing by with Playbook. Thanks for hanging with me for the last couple hours. We'll see you tomorrow.
Well, it started out down a dirty road. Started out all alone. And the sun went down as it crossed the hill. And the town lit up.
That'll do it. Another PFW in progress. We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Yeah, God, yeah.
Patriots.com Radio.